What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. Today's episode is going to be a rather short one. I just wanted to record one real quickly because I was trying to get all the scenarios for Sunday into one tweet, but I fear there was just too much to unpack, so I figured why not, you know, put together a brief 10 to 15 minute episode, mainly explaining the scenarios out west regarding the Memphis pick, because it's gotten a lot dicier than we thought, than I'm sure Will Dawkins thought when he made the trade. Same with Zach Kleiman, the Grizzlies GM thought would even be the case now. But the Grizzlies are now locked into the play-in tournament. So I want to go through the scenarios real quick out west to get Wizards fans in the know for Sunday, what to root for, which teams they want over other teams, the best that Memphis pick could be, and obviously the worst it could be, not even factoring in the fact that they might miss the playoffs altogether. And then where does that pick go from there should they miss the playoffs? So I want to get everybody in line with that before Sunday so they know what to root for. And then I also want to briefly explain, I've had probably at least 50 to 100 people ask me, Greg, what's the tiebreaker should Utah and Washington, which is probably going to happen, finish the regular season with the same record, meaning they'd be tied for the NBA's worst record. I figured it out. Tim Bontemps did for ESPN, but for you guys, I will, relay that information to you and let you know where it's going to be with that. But I want to start out west because there's a lot to unpack. I haven't been this locked into the playoff chase in years, because obviously it hasn't mattered to the Wizards since 2021 when they made the playoffs last. But nonetheless, it's been fun because the Wizards are just losing. They lost by like 30 to Chicago last night. So this has kind of, been fun for me and Wizards fans. I've been creating these rooting guides and who to root for out west. I've been more locked in, honestly, to the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves and the Clippers than I have been with the Wizards, because it's just kind of getting to the finish line at Washington versus these teams. This is a huge impact on the Wizards. You could have another top 20 pick in a really good draft class, or you could lose it all together. And that trade could, look way worse than it did, 2-3 months ago. So here's kind of the scenario and what Wizards fans need to root for out west, okay? Every team plays on Sunday. No team's playing today, which I'm recording this on a Saturday. But every team plays on Sunday. It's a full 15-game slate. For the Wizards, these are the results, and then I'll unpack exactly why you want these results. Wizards fans want the Golden State Warriors to beat the LA Clippers. That game is in Golden State. It's a must win for both teams. I'm pretty sure whoever loses that game falls from wherever they are in the top six to pretty much the seventh seed. I'm 99% sure, actually, that that's the case, barring obviously a Denver loss, which I doubt. But at the same time, that could happen. Denver's at Houston. Houston's resting their starters. They lost the Lakers by like 30, and it's a must win pretty much for Denver. So, you know that Denver is going to be locked in on trying to win that game. But you want the Warriors to beat the Clippers, because if the Warriors win, they get from 48 wins to 49 wins. They join the Clippers at 49 wins. I'm pretty certain that the Warriors have the tiebreaker over the Clippers. So that in that case, right, that means the Clippers would drop to the seventh seed. The Warriors would move up, but the Warriors would have 49 wins, and the Memphis Grizzlies cannot get to 49 wins. But I'll unpack that in a brief second. You want, obviously, the Dallas Mavericks on the road at Memphis to win that game. It's a big game for Dallas, because if they win and Sacramento loses at home, I'm pretty sure they're home against Phoenix, that means that Dallas leapfrogs the Sacramento Kings for the ninth seed, and they host the home play-in game against Sacramento rather than traveling on the road in a tough environment against Sacramento. So Dallas needs a lot to happen. They need to win at Memphis, which is tough, and they need to come home. They need the Kings to lose to a Suns team that's out of it. So you want, obviously, the Memphis Grizzlies to lose. You want Milwaukee to beat Detroit. They just had a huge win in Detroit. Both of those teams are locked in, right? Milwaukee will be at Indiana to start the playoffs. Detroit will be at New York to start the playoffs. So I don't know what they're going to be playing for, but in an ideal world, Milwaukee wins that game, because then they keep pace with Memphis at 48 wins at the end of the season should Memphis beat Dallas. So that would make a tie break, obviously, but nonetheless, it's still a pick that the Wizards could move up by one slot if Milwaukee keeps pace. If they don't and Memphis wins that game, then Memphis is obviously finishing with 48 versus 47 wins for Milwaukee. So that's not an ideal result. So you're going to want Milwaukee to win a meaningless game for them, but not a meaningless game for the Wizards. And then you obviously want to finish it off with Minnesota beating Utah. That's probably the biggest lock of the century, right? Minnesota, with a win, guarantees they avoid the play-in. They guarantee a top six spot in the Western Conference. And Utah is avidly trying to do everything they can to at least make sure they finish the regular season tied with the Wizards for the NBA's worst record. So both teams going opposite directions. One really wants to win, one really wants to lose. Minnesota will win that game. But those are the four games to circle on your calendar. Other than the Wizards game, obviously, those are big time. And yeah, you know, you'll say that, you know, the Wizards want Utah to beat Minnesota, obviously, so that they can get the worst record. I get that, but that's not going to happen, right? So you might as well look at the positives of Minnesota, and it's kind of a win-win because Minnesota avoids that play-in and they finish with more wins for sure than the Memphis Grizzlies. So that's kind of what I would say to root for because that's what's going to happen. So those are the four results circle, and I'll explain what will happen should, you know, certain outcomes arise, certain scenarios arise. And try to do it in the easiest way possible because this has taken me 20, 30 minutes, probably longer than it should have to figure out. So here's the first scenario, right? Let's say the Warriors win, they beat the Clippers, and Minnesota wins, they beat Utah. That would mean that Memphis is obviously locked into that eighth seed, but should Memphis, you know, escape the play-in, even if they win that first play-in game and get the seventh seed, they'll still have the 19th pick in the draft, right? So Minnesota wins against Utah, their top six. That means that Golden State wins. It would be Memphis at the Clippers for the seven seed. It would also mean that a Golden State win and a Minnesota win means that even if Memphis beats Dallas, they are still the lone Western Conference team with 48 wins. Everybody else would have 49, which is why you want the Golden State Warriors to beat the Clippers because the Clippers are already at 49. The Warriors win, they're at 49. There's no tiebreaker that needs to be had if Memphis wins. And if Minnesota wins, like they should, they're at 49 wins, so there's no tiebreaker. So that means that at worst, right? Well, not at worst. That means that no matter if Memphis is able to escape the play-in, whether they get the 7 or 8 seed, they have the 19th pick, which then gets sent to Washington. So that's great. You know, and those are two really likely results. I mean, Minnesota's going to win, and Golden State at home, that's a really tough place to play, really veteran team against obviously a Clippers team that's won 7 in a row, but the Warriors are you know, obviously playing better basketball as of late. Biggest game of the year for them to avoid the play-in. You know, I think they go in there, and I think they win that game. So if those two things hold up, Warriors win, Timberwolves win, Memphis is picking 19th, and if they make the playoffs, that pick is Washington's. Let's fast forward to another scenario, right? Let's say the Warriors win, Minnesota wins, and Milwaukee wins. That means that Memphis is now tied if they win, right? And this is also if Memphis wins. If all four of those results hold up, Memphis and Milwaukee will both be tied at 48 and 34. The only two NBA teams that will be 48 and 34. That would put them in a tie for the 18th overall pick, which, again, I'm 99% sure is decided by a coin flip. So Washington would be guaranteed either the 18th or 19th pick, but this is what you want Milwaukee to win. And someone asked me a couple days ago, why do you want the Bucks to win? It's for situations like this. They've won 6 in a row, I'm pretty sure. And they have a chance to win on Sunday, even if Memphis wins, and they overtake them or tie them for 48. And another scenario, let's introduce, if Memphis loses to Dallas, which I think is unlikely, that would mean that Memphis has sole possession of the 18th pick. So 18 is the highest that this pick could possibly be at this point of the season, should Memphis make the playoffs. And I think it's very likely that if they make the playoffs, it's either 18 or 19. That's what I'm getting at here. Through all these scenarios, it's either 18 or 19 if everything unfolds the way it should. And the worst, honestly, that it could be is 20. So like I said, I tweeted this last night, with Memphis making the play-in, Washington's guaranteed a top 20 pick. Here's why. Let's say that Memphis wins. Let's say Milwaukee loses and Golden State loses. Those are the three worst results of the day. And obviously Minnesota wins. That's going to happen. But those are the three, you know, worst results that could happen of the day out west for the Wizards. That would mean it would introduce a three-way tie, a two-way tie for the 20th overall pick. Or I guess it would kind of be for 19-20, because if Milwaukee loses, they'll be slotted into 18. So for the 19th pick, Golden State and Memphis would be tied at 48 wins, the only two teams in the league at 48 wins. That would, you know, cause a coin flip, and the Wizards would either get 19 or 20. But other than that, there's no scenario where Memphis makes the playoffs and their pick is higher than 20, which is a great scenario for Washington. So in the grand scheme of things, to wrap it all up, The Wizards want the Warriors to beat the Clippers. They want the Mavericks to beat the Grizzlies. They want Milwaukee to beat Detroit, which is in Milwaukee, by the way. And they want Minnesota at home to take care of Utah. That is pretty likely, I would say, for Minnesota. It's just that Golden State game is humongous for them because they really want the Warriors to win, get the 49 wins, and that leaves Memphis as the sole team at 48, and it means that the Wizards pick, if they get it from the Grizzlies, can't be any worse than 19. And at best, it could move up to 18 with either a tie where Milwaukee and Memphis both win. Either Milwaukee and Memphis both lose, they're also tied, or Milwaukee wins, Memphis loses. Memphis falls into the 18th slot by itself, and if they make the playoffs, Washington gets the 18th pick. All of that, I hope that was easy to understand, but that is the situation out West and your rooting scenarios and the rooting guide for Wizards fans. Now, obviously, worst case scenario, right, is the Memphis Grizzlies lose the play-in. They lose, you know, at Golden State or at, you know, the Clippers, which I think is likely. And then they come back home for a play-in game against either the Kings or the Mavericks, and they also lose that game. That would be quite catastrophic. And it would suck. And a lot of people were saying, you know, I'm not, you know, that would mean that the trade was a complete failure. I don't think so. I mean, Will Dawkins made this trade with Memphis in third in the West. Like, it's not like he could have predicted a downfall like this. But I will say it could be really bad luck if that's the case and the Wizards don't get that pick. But it could also, you know, work out literally perfectly to where the Wizards basically get the, you know, what was going to be around the 25th or 26th pick. And they move about 7-8 slots to the, 18th pick, 19th pick, and they still get it. I mean, I tweeted at the same time, like, Wizards fans were like, who do I want to root for? Am I rooting for Memphis to, you know, make the playoffs or rooting for them to make it, but at a, you know, the worst possible record? I literally said that's the case. Like, you want them to make it ideally, but with the worst record out West as the 8 seed. That's coming to fruition, and basically all Memphis will need to do is win a home game, take care of business at home against a depleted Kings team, you know, Monk's out for the year, and obviously they're new, but, you know, and against the Mavericks team that is good and they're getting healthier, but, you know, haven't played their best basketball, and Memphis should beat them. So that's kind of where the Wizards lie in terms of that. And so I kind of want to wrap it for this part with scenarios about where that pick goes should Memphis miss the playoffs. Here's the scenario. If this pick falls within the protected range and therefore is not conveyed, then Memphis will instead convey the most favorable of Boston's 2026 second-round pick, Indiana's 2026 second-round pick, the Clippers' 2026 second, Miami's 2026 second, and Atlanta's 2027 second-round pick to Washington. So about four 2026 second-round picks, or the option of the 2027 second-round pick if the Wizards don't want the 2026 ones, that is conveyed to Washington should they not get Memphis' first-round pick this year. So they're still getting a second. It wouldn't be this year. It would be next year from any of the teams that I listed. But that would happen if Memphis somehow, some way, you know, misses the playoffs. So that's the Memphis thing. That's a lot to unpack, and hopefully it's understandable. But to recap real quick, you want the Warriors to beat the Clippers. You want the Mavericks to beat the Grizzlies. You want the Bucks to beat the Pistons. And you want the Timberwolves to beat Utah. That's your scenario at West. It's going to be a fun day for Wizards fans. But, you know, it's fun to root for those teams with not too much. You have rooting interest, right? But it's not the end of the world if Memphis or if some of those roles don't go as the Wizards want, because it's only a 1-2 pick difference. What the real thing is Tuesday and Thursday for those play-in games. You know, Wizards fans are huge Grizzlies fans. It's going to be fun to root for Memphis. They've been playing bad basketball, but they still got some guys, and I could see them going on the road, even to Golden State, and, you know, definitely to the Clippers. The Clippers have been playing well, but I could see them going in and surprising everyone and just winning one of those games. So the Wizards fans were kind of rooting against Memphis for a greater part of the second half. They're now the biggest Grizzlies fans in the world. So that situation out West. Quickly on the situation in the East regarding the Wizards, I guess technically West too with the Jazz. I've got a lot of questions asking me, what is the outcome if both Washington and Utah are tied at 17-65 at the end of the regular season? They would be tied for the NBA's worst record. And all of their odds are the same for the most part. It's kind of like who can only fall outside the top five. Who's guaranteed a top five pick versus who's guaranteed a top six pick. Not the end of the world. And, you know, by history, you kind of want the second worst record, not the first worst record. But I digress. Essentially, it's a coin flip. Tim Bontemps of ESPN put this in his recent article about the NBA playoff races. I recommend it. It was a really good read. Really informative too. But I've been saying it's a random drawing, which it is and has been for a while. It's literally just like heads or tails. Like what I saw in the past was they would, like, you know, it would be 10 different numbers. Each team gets 5. They randomly draw some combination of numbers, kind of like they do with the lottery, and they each get it's 50%. So you might as well just flip a coin, get it over with. Which is crazy how much can change from the flip of a coin, right? But at the same time, that's where it is. So I hope that answers your question. It's going to happen, right? Like, Utah's going to lose to Minnesota. And for Washington, they're going to be playing the same 8-man rotation of guys all 23 and under, with Champagne being the veteran. I mean, Poole's not going to return. Bay's not going to play for, you know, this whole season. Brogdon, that was the easiest kept secret in the league to figure out, that when he got hurt about 2 months ago, he wasn't returning from that ankle injury. Middleton, out again, I would assume. Smart's been healthy the last 3 to 4 games. He's just a DMP because there's no reason to play him when you're tanking. And all of those guys that have been hurt, they'll be out. So you have an 8-man rotation of 23 and under guys for the Wizards at Miami. But the issue for the Wizards is Miami is locked into the 10 seed. Now, what I could see is Miami just saying, you know, let's just play. Let's beat up on the Wizards. We'll rest our starters in the second half, but we have a game soon, and we don't want to be rusty. It's the biggest game of the year to save our season, so let's play our starters. I hope that's the case for the Wizards so that they can lose, but even if Miami plays its end-of-the-bench guys, that's kind of what the Wizards are doing. Like, they're playing their rookies, right? But they're also playing, you know, A.J. Johnson's playing 35 minutes a game, and J.T. Thor and Colby Jones, end-of-the-bench guys, are playing so many minutes in this 8-man rotation. Vucevic, too, so, like, all of these guys for the Wizards, it's not like they are, you know, world beaters. It's not like they're the best players in the world. They're going to be playing against similar guys, similar skill sets, maybe even better players for Miami. And that's if Miami doesn't play its starters. So they're locked into the 10 seed. We will see. They have a day with Chicago coming up on Tuesday. So I don't know what their deal is, but I could see Spo playing his starters in the first half, getting a 25-point lead, and then, you know, resting them for the second half to kind of keep that momentum going. So quick episode today, informative episode, I hope, breaking down the situation out west with the Grizzlies and scenarios and rooting guide there. And then, you know, what would the tiebreaker be in the likely scenario that the Wizards and Jazz finish 17-65 and have to, you know, do some sort of tiebreaker for that worst record in the NBA. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. I'll be back on Sunday night into Monday morning with a full recap of you know, where the Wizards lie and kind of some things to look forward in the offseason. The second annual Teddy Awards, where I kind of give awards to every player on the Wizards, MVP, most improved player, you know, worst player to watch, some fun awards in there too. Thank God they traded this player. That will be, I think, around Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week, so be on the lookout for that. It's always fun to record. I always like the reaction to some of the awards too. But that's on the agenda. Other than that, it's going to do for this episode. Hopefully this was informative. Big Sunday coming up for the Wizards, even though they are 17-64. You didn't think they would be, you'd be this invested in some playoff races, but Wizards fans should be really invested in that race out west. So again, thank you guys for listening. That's going to do it for this episode. Go Wiz.